the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you today from our Chicago studios under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, The Benediction, was written by Morton Wishengrad and stars George Tobias.
In an ancient time he came to me. He was Eliezer, the son of Simeon. The way was cloudy with dust, but Eliezer rode like a prince through darkness, shining his own sun. He rode surely, sitting his saddle with elegance.
Peace be with you, my teacher.
Some men are favored in countenance, some in wealth alone, some in intellect. Eliezer was favored in all things. He washed the grime of the road from his hands, and then he sat beside me.
I think you would have been proud of me, teacher.
It went well, then?
Better than I had any right to expect.
Tell me.
The council of elders sat in a great semicircle. Just as you said they would. Rabbi Gamaliel sat here, Akiba beside him, Joshua there. Each candidate went trembling before them.
And you, Eliezer, did you not tremble?
A little. Rabbi Gamaliel asked the first question. How long, he said, have you studied? When I said 15 years, he smiled. Then Rabbi Akiba said, And what has 15 years of study taught you?
And your answer?
I replied, I have learned that it can be proved by the Torah, the prophets, and other sacred writings that man is led along the path he wishes to follow.
A good answer. Mm. And you passed.
Yes, teacher.
And so now my pupil is no longer my pupil. Now I must call him Rabbi Eliezer.
Not yet, teacher. There was no laying on of hands. They did not ordain me.
Curious. Why not?
It was at my request.
And what exactly was your request?
I asked leave to be permitted to return to Migdal Gerer so that my old teacher, who has blessed me with his knowledge, might bless me now with his hands and ordain me rabbi.
A pretty speech, Eliezer. My compliments. Why do you bow your head to me?
This is the day the Lord hath prepared for me. Even as Eli touched his hands to the head of Samuel, his pupil, touch me, teacher, with the benediction of your hands, and say the words of the priestly blessing.
Lift up your head.
Not until you bless me.
Not today.
Teacher, why are you angry with me?
The Council of Elders is the most august tribunal in the land of Israel. Moreover, the law is plain. Only the patriarch may ordain.
Rabbi Gamaliel granted his permission. An exception was made.
I am not to be compared to Gamaliel, nor to sages like Joshua and Akiba. Why did you slight them?
It was not to slight them, but to honor you.
Look at me, Eliezer. I wish the truth.
They were not offended.
I assume as much. I am sure they showed their pleasure.
I did not notice.
I have known you for 15 years. There is little you do not notice or take into account.
Take what into account?
The impression you would make. It was subtle of you, Eliezer. A clever demonstration.
I don't know.
I see you standing before them. Handsome, quick, bearing yourself like the aristocrat you are. Answering each question with poise, yet with proper modesty. Winning them all by all your manner. And then, when all the texts had been brilliantly expounded, your final calculated gesture... Thank you, venerable sages of Israel. But in Migdal Gerer lives my poor teacher. This is his triumph, not mine. With your permission, let my humble teacher ordain me, his blessing and his hands. I see the tears in their eyes, the wordless moving of their lips. Eliezer, no Grecian playwright could have contrived it better.
My teacher has turned cynic.
His pupil has taught him.
You do me a grievous injustice.
By knowing you?
I know the written law. I know the oral tradition. I have the certificate of the elders to prove I have passed every test.
The test of a man's life is not his theology, but his life.
Who makes pretty speeches now?
I should have known you would say that. Go back to the elders. Let them ordain you.
That would be somewhat embarrassing.
You will find some explanation that would not be too difficult for you.
Then why...
Do I deny the blessing?
Yes.
Because while I am convinced of your mind, I am not convinced of your heart. Until then, in my eyes, you are no rabbi. Come back for my blessing when you are.
When?
When the time is ready for it.
How will I know?
When you have doubted yourself a little. Perhaps when you have doubted even God. When you have tasted some of the pain of loneliness and been tempted to pick up any stone and bash in your skull with it. Then, Eliezer, when you no longer play with people and have become a man and a true rabbi, come back then.
This is the first time you have ever spoken to me with such bitterness.
The fault is mine. I waited too long.
Suppose what you charge me with is true. Suppose I was guilty of...
Calculated humility?
Well...
Go on, Eliezer.
I harmed no one by it.
You harmed yourself.
I regret it, then. I'm truly sorry.
Your penitence comes too easy.
Have you nothing else to say?
Nothing, Eliezer.
Perhaps I will return. I don't know. Peace be with you, teacher. And peace to all your house.
I wept to see him go. I wept for my own hardness, but I bit my tongue and did not call him back. Eliezer returned to the great council of sages and elders. The news of it was brought to me, how he bowed his head. They reached out their hands and spoke the immemorial words, and he rose in their midst, Eliezer, the son of Simeon, rabbi. He did not return to my house, and yet the tidings of him came, tidings of a new light in Israel. The fame of him filled the land, of his wisdom, his knowledge of Torah, the keenness and the subtlety of his argument. On a day like other days for Rabbi Eliezer, he rode beside the banks of a river, content with himself and proud. And he came upon a beggar, no ordinary beggar.
Sir, can you tell me, is this the road to Safed? You're not deaf, are you? I asked a civil question. Is this the road to Safed?
Follow the stream. It'll take you there.
Can you not speak more distinctly?
Follow the stream.
Thank you. Here's a coin for your trouble. Well, beggar, give me your hand.
Drop the coin in the road. I will retrieve it later.
You speak curiously for a beggar. You are a beggar?
Yes.
You keep your face from me. Why?
I like it so.
No, no, no. Show me your face.
Are you sure you want to see it, Rabbi Eliezer?
You know my name?
I was in the marketplace earlier. They said the famous scholar would ride this way.
Now you must turn your face. I wish to see it.
Are you sure?
Of course. Why shouldn't I want to see it?
This is why. Don't avert your eyes, Rabbi Eliezer. You asked. Look your fill. See? This jelly of flesh is a human cheek. This twist of cartilage is a nose. This bloat of purple tissue, the lips of my mouth. Come now. Tell me to my face what a handsome fellow I am.
In all my life, I have never seen a human being so ugly. Are all the people of your town as repulsive as you?
I do not know, but go to the master craftsman who made me and complain that you met Uriah the beggar. And say to the master craftsman how a defective vessel thou hast created. Go on to Safed and let me alone. Why are you following me?
Uriah, I must speak to you.
Mount your mule and be gone. They are waiting for you in Safed.
I cannot go to them until I have told you I have sinned against you.
Good, you told me, Rabbi. Mount your mule and ride off.
My words were unjust and cruel. Uriah, I spoke them without thinking. I ask you now, humbly, forgive those words.
And will you forgive my face?
Do you think I don't know how it must be for you?
No man knows. My mother looked down on me and the milk curdled in her breast. When I crept off to play with the other children, they ran from me, screaming. Do you know that? Can you feel it?
I am trying.
Well, don't bother. It is not written down, Rabbi. If you... Were you ever kicked, Rabbi? Did you ever feel the lash and taste of a stone? Yet in all the years of my humiliation, I comforted myself. Do you know that?
Tell me, Uriah.
I comforted myself with the knowledge that there was a God in heaven who saw me, who wept a little for me, who one day would make amends for me. And oh, he did. He sent me Rabbi Eliezer, filled with the words of Torah, to tell me I was ugly. Lord, Uriah, your servant, thanks you.
Revile me, Uriah, not God.
I revile and blaspheme both. Be off to Safed, Rabbi Eliezer. The pious wait in their synagogues for you.
I have heard you. Now you must hear me.
You must not keep the pious waiting.
It will take only a moment to tell you.
No, no, Rabbi. I have thought of something. I give you a text to preach to the pious.
Please, Uriah, you must listen to me.
You listen, Eliezer. I am giving you your text. Preach this to them. The greatness of God is infinite. For while with one die man impresses many coins and all are exactly alike, the King of Kings with one die impresses the same image of Adam on all men, and yet not one man is like his neighbor. I will give you the meaning of it now. This is it, Rabbi, that everyone ought to say, for me, for myself, the universe is created. Even for me, Uriah the beggar. Ugly, repulsive, loathsome Uriah. For me, do you hear? The universe was created. The sweet fragrance of trees, the speech of birds, the taste of honey, the kiss of a wife, the laughter of children. Go away, Rabbi Eliezer. Go away before I kill you.
A strange thing took place. In Safed, the pious waited for the coming of Rabbi Eliezer, but no rabbi came. Instead, over the hills, a beggar walked, and behind him, leading a mule, walked Eliezer, the son of Simeon, entreating forgiveness. I tell it to you as it was told to me, the beggar going before, the rabbi following. No longer immaculate, his hair unkempt, his face stained with hunger, his tongue thick with thirst, his cloak torn, his feet bleeding from the stones. And proceeding in this curious way, they came finally to the outskirts of Safed.
We have waited between Sabbath and Sabbath. The others went home. Which one is Rabbi Eliezer?
Eliezer, she cannot distinguish between us. Woman, look at him. Now look at me. You recoil, eh? I nauseate you.
God help me, yes.
He was born of woman, as you and I were born of woman.
No.
Preach the entire text, Eliezer. There is more.
You are Eliezer, the son of Simeon?
Yes.
Peace be unto thee, Rabbi and teacher.
Woman, if this be a teacher in Israel, let there not be many more like him.
Rabbi, do not allow the man to talk this way.
He speaks what is true. Let him talk. I have sinned against him.
Whatever the sin, he must forgive you. You are a scholar, great in Torah. You, whatever your name is.
Reptile.
You must forgive him for the sake of his learning.
Learning is a cold thing. Has no pulse. Does not bleed. It feels no pain. There's no flesh on it. It's full of pieties, but no charities. Learning is a game, and I'm sick of games. Eliezer, this is as far as I go. They are waiting for you in the synagogue. Take him, woman. He will preach a fine lesson for you.
Rabbi Eliezer, you say nothing.
Nathan, where are your manners? Our honored guest is fatigued from his journey. Rabbi Eliezer, my wife will bring fruit and goat's milk.
Thank you, no.
Well, in that case, let us speak of your lesson this evening. With your permission, Rabbi, the congregation itself has chosen a text.
Nathan, that must sound presumptuous to the rabbi.
Oh, not when we explain that the text is one which Rabbi Eliezer himself expounded with great skill before the College of Elders at the time of his ordination. Correct me, Rabbi, but I believe in answer to a question from Rabbi Joshua, you answered, "He who is cruel to the compassionate ends by being compassionate to the cruel." Now, we would like you to go on from there and... Rabbi Eliezer, is something wrong?
You call me Rabbi. I do not deserve the name.
Oh, jest with us.
I do not deserve the name. I'm not fit to teach in Israel. The blood of cruelty is on my hands.
You are thinking of him again. My wife has told me. Hardly anything human.
I sinned against him, a great sin.
Rabbi Eliezer, we have a great God. He will forgive great sins.
God forgives sins against God. Sins against man must be forgiven by man. I cannot preach here. I cannot preach anywhere until Uriah forgives me. My cloak, please.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know for certain. In Migdal Gerer, there lives a teacher. I think I must return to him.
Face to me, Eliezer. There is a healing for fever in cool water.
Do I have a fever, teacher?
For days. Let me wash you.
I falsified your teaching.
You must not tax yourself. You are sick.
I am worse than sick. I am a hypocrite.
No more talking. I will wash you and make you clean and cool. And you'll be well again.
Teacher.
Yes, Eliezer.
Your hands, they're as gentle as my mother's.
Why not? You were my student.
Even so.
I will tell you a parable. When the Israelites came to receive the Torah, God said to them, "Bring to me good sureties that you will observe it." They answered, "Our fathers will be our sureties." But God replied, "Your sureties need sureties themselves. I have found fault with them." So they answered him again, "Our prophets will be our sureties." And God replied, "I have found fault with them also." Then the Israelites said, "Our students and our children will be our sureties." And this was acceptable to God. And the Holy One, blessed be his name, gave to Israel the Torah. You close your eyes. I will let you sleep.
I close my eyes, teacher, because I am weary of words.
But you must not be weary of life.
No.
No. There is no blessing greater than life.
There is one named Uriah. Ask him the blessing of his life.
Very good, Eliezer. There is no true growth without suffering. It costs something to know and to be enlarged. You have paid a little of the cost, and you've grown a little since I saw you last. Sleep, Eliezer, and then you will eat.
What for?
To be strong for tomorrow. I have sent for Uriah. Tomorrow he comes.
Where is he, teacher? Let us get it done with. There should be good begging in the streets of Migdal Gerer, even for someone like me. Where is he?
He is in the next room. He wants to speak to you.
Oh, I'll come back later.
Now, Uriah.
There's no haste, teacher. I have...
Through that door, Uriah. Eliezer's waiting for you. If you do not go by yourself, I will carry you in.
Oh, that will not be necessary, teacher. You might even go as far as to say that I look forward to the interview. Sit down, Uriah. Come, dear Rabbi. Your tone lacks the note of contrition I was led to expect.
Sit down. That's better. Uriah, I sinned against you, and I begged your forgiveness for the sin. I no longer beg.
Now, I am interested. Why no longer, Rabbi?
For once in my life, without pretense, without calculating any advantage for myself, I was humbled. The penitence I spoke was real. My grief for my own cruelty was genuine. You knew that, Uriah.
I'm not interrupting you, Rabbi Eliezer. Go on.
And I will tell you something. I've thought about it and thought about it. It's driven me almost mad. But now I know why you refuse forgiveness.
For the sake of justice?
No. For the sake of power. All your life you have been scorned and rejected. And all my life I've been accepted and loved. In one moment of my own inexcusable cruelty, you won power over me. A beggar astride the scholar. It was an advantage you would not willingly give up.
They do not lie when they praise your mind.
Uriah, I sinned against you. But you sinned also. The sin of power and pride.
Look again at my face. Is this face for once not entitled to a little pride?
No man alive, Uriah, may forsake humanity.
Why do I care about your words?
You hate me.
I do, scholar.
And I know why.
Yes. Because you are Eliezer and have everything, and I am Uriah and have nothing. I hate you.
And all men.
Yes, all men.
Now love me, Uriah.
Your brain has gone soft.
Love me now, Uriah.
Why?
Because you have taught me.
Huh?
We love those whom we teach. You have taught me.
Scholar, I liked you better when you recoiled from my face and called it repulsive.
Touch my hand, Uriah. It is warm, like your hand. It bleeds also when it is cut. And like your hand, it can clench a stone and yearn to smash its own life.
What do you know of that, you and your pretty face?
I told you. You taught me. You taught me many things. To look into a man's eyes and see pain. To detest myself for my own hypocrisy. And to love myself for my own truth.
I shall not forgive you, Eliezer.
You must, Uriah. It is the only way you can retain your advantage. The only way you can be nobler than I.
Who are you? I don't know you.
I am Eliezer, the son of Simeon, who wishes to be a rabbi in Israel.
Well, your brain has gone soft. You are a rabbi.
By the hands of Gamaliel, not by the hands of my own teacher. Where are you going?
You will see. Come in, teacher. Teacher, you are needed here.
What is it, Eliezer?
I called you, not Eliezer. Teacher, here is Eliezer, the son of Simeon. No rabbi in his own eyes until your hands touch his head and your words bless him. Bless him, teacher.
You know what you're saying, Uriah.
It is not every day that a beggar ordains a rabbi.
You forgive him?
I am not sure. Well, put it another way. Say that I wish to retain my advantage over him. Go on. I am curious to see the ceremony. Eliezer, tell him to go on.
Your face is not so ugly now.
Sickness has made you sentimental.
Ugliness is not skin and bone. It is the expression of the soul written on a face. Your expression is tired. Perhaps your soul is tired, I don't know. But you're not ugly to me.
Teacher, I am waiting for you to bless your student.
Eliezer ben Simeon, Rabbi, I confer upon you the right to be a teacher and judge in Israel. May you love mercy. May you do justice. May you walk all your days in the path of him who is our God and our Redeemer.
Nothing more, teacher?
Nothing more, Uriah. Now come with me. I've prepared food. You will eat with us.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Charles Olef, prominent Chicago businessman and member of the lay cabinet of the National Planning Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary and the United Synagogue of America. Mr. Olef.
Today's program derives its moral from the famous passage found in the book of Micah. It hath been told thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Between Eliezer and Uriah, there existed a breach of understanding. Whenever there are differences of attitude, as we have just illustrated, the assumption must never be made that absolute truth is found on either side. In most cases, complete perception of motives will reveal an area of common truth. The problem is to bridge the gap which exists between right and wrong. Humility is such a bridge. Justice is, of course, the goal. Uriah's vision was blinded by self-pity and a bitter heart. His was the most difficult task, to learn the virtue and emotion of forgiveness. The tensions created by the dichotomy between right and wrong might be dissipated if we committed ourselves to the tenet that justice is possible only if mercy and humility precede it. These differences exist on every level, from the family to the nation. If we are to bridge them, we must be aware of one sin, Uriah's pride. It breeds arrogance and can distort a motivation from selfless to a selfish impulse. In the absence of arrogance, justice will thrive in the soil of humility. On the eve of the Thanksgiving season, we are grateful for the opportunity to commit ourselves to the task of unity and world peace. America, as the world's leader, must do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with her God.
Thank you, Mr. Charles Olef. The Eternal Light drama today, The Benediction, was written by Morton Wishengrad. Cantor Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Maurice Copeland as the rabbi, Sam Siegel as Eliezer, and George Tobias as Uriah. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Joseph Galicchio. The entire production was under the direction of Howard T. Keegan. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and came to you today from Chicago. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.